Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so you can swing on over there, check it out if you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, with three E's.
All right, Dan. So, you know, I waited patiently, and I finally got one. Our trading partner in the Yahoo Fantasy League finally reached out to me. You know, I was wondering. I was feeling kind of bad because I hadn't heard from him, and, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess, you know, maybe my team isn't that good. But today he decided that he needed John Wall off my team. And in return for John Wall, he was going to give me Larry Nance Jr. and Robert Covington.
Oh.
Yeah, sadly, you know, if he would have offered Lonzo, I might have actually looked at the deal a little more seriously. So I responded and told him I would give him the injured John Wall for his two best players. That would be Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. So we will wait to see if I get a reply from him. But that was my counter. So I don't know if he will accept that or not, but it finally, you know, it took, you know, I don't know how many weeks we've been going now, but, you know, I finally got a trade offer from him.
Well, I think that would be because for the last two, been sending me those, that same trade plus, you know, a mixture of others for Russell Westbrook. And then this morning I got two and immediately rejected him. I think he got tired of my rejection. But I'm surprised he didn't reject yours right away. Because when I threw out a trade for those two guys, he rejected it right away.
Well, I literally just sent it before we started the podcast. I mean, just as the music was playing, I was sending him the post, or I sent him the trade. So... yeah, it definitely, you know, it was definitely something that just happened. So, you know, we'll see how it works out or what happens, but I would assume a quick rejection is soon to follow. So, but yeah, I wanted to remember that right away. I was just kind of like, hey, okay, here we go. You know, this, you know, finally, here's my turn to start getting some trades from this guy. And I was just like, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the minute I saw the name, you know, I get the email first and it's like, you know, Answer Cools. I don't quite understand the meaning of the name, but they're like, Answer Cools has sent you a trade. I'm like, oh, yes, here we go. So I was just like, this has got to be fantastic. And, yeah, sure enough, I opened it up, and I'm like, yeah, it kind of figured he would want my, you know, my best player, even though he's injured, for two bench players. So.
when is he expected to return?
You know, I don't think it's too much longer. I thought I saw it was the 4 to 6 week deal. But I don't remember off the top of my head when I was looking at it. Let's see if there's any kind of update here. he's just one of a long line of injuries that I've dealt with this year. So I'm getting kind of used to swapping guys in and out. I'm trying to think. I still have Tristan Thompson on the injured list as well. So I'm waiting to get them back. Now, it doesn't look like they've given any update here yet. I can probably, if I hunt down my team, I can probably get a better update on it. But yeah, I knew right away that I had to make sure I mentioned the trade to you, because I knew you would get a big kick out of it, because you get them all the time from him. You know, he's always asking for one of your guys, and you know, in some goofy kind of deal. And I was like, oh yes, finally I get to get involved in this.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he sent trades to the team with Steph Curry on it. He's at 500 right now, but stopped playing basically after we drafted.
Oh, is that one they posted on the board about? I saw the message board about it. So, yeah, you know, sadly, we still get, you know, one of these years we're going to get a league where everybody sticks around, and we can actually get everybody to play the whole season. But again, you know, not this year. I didn't even bother to look to see, you know, how many teams have kind of fallen off already. So, all right, let's see if my John Wall update is in here. So, let's see. They say he doesn't have a return date in mind. So maybe I should have taken the trade. So he had a checkup on Friday, and they're saying approximately 2 weeks now before they check on him again and see how he's doing. So, yeah, God, I should have taken the damn trade. Oh, well. So maybe he'll offer it again to me.
Most likely. All right. Well, I mean, do we go into the latest Ohtani news? Hot stove?
So, yeah, you know, like I said, I just wanted to make sure I remembered to hit you with that right away. Otherwise, you know, it would have been 6:30 and I'd have been like, damn it, I forgot to say something. So, yeah, you know, I know he had meetings today. Did he meet with multiple clubs today?
Well, no, it's the article I started reading yesterday. I laughed because the one that was put out today has the first two same exact paragraphs. So they're really doing a great job of just copying and pasting what they wrote yesterday. But apparently he met with all seven teams Monday and Tuesday. The Giants were the first team, and the Padres were the last team. The reason I wanted to jump back on it again is the thing you brought up yesterday about your Mariners and why you thought they might not be in the forefront was because Ohtani, I guess, said that he didn't want to pitch with another Japanese pitcher on his team. And you brought up Iwakuma, who I think maybe you just, you know, were thinking in terms, but you know, you did bring this up that they did bring him back on a minor league deal. So he's technically, you know, not on the major league roster. So I don't think that gives them the negative, or, you know, I don't want to say the point off for going against, you know, Ohtani's wishes, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I kind of looked at it as, you know, I know when it's all said and done, Iwakuma is going to be in their rotation somewhere. So, you know, whether he's on a minor league deal or not, he's going to end up as one of their starting five. So that's why I just kind of counted it that way. But, yeah, I'm looking at the MLB Trade Rumors article. And, yeah, he met with all seven teams in just a 48-hour period. That had to be ridiculous. So,
well, it looks like, you know, both sides are obviously keeping tight lists on it. So, what's today? Today's the 6th. We got 16 days before, I guess, he makes a decision. And then what I didn't realize was, once, you know, and I'm assuming this has nothing to do with international league interpool money or whatever we call it again. But whoever wins, so to speak, I have to pay the Nippon Fighters $20 million.
Yeah, I did like, and I'm sure you saw this one. I didn't even think of this yesterday, but one of the advantages the Cubs may have is what you would look at as limited travel time. You know, because the Cubs are based in the Midwest, they actually travel 10,000 or more miles a year, less than teams like the Rangers. And then it's actually 23,000 miles fewer than teams like the Angels, you know, the Mariners, you know, and those West Coast teams, just because of their location. Now, I don't know if that's something Otani and his people were taking into, you know, consideration. But, yeah, it was pointed out by, I want to give this guy credit here, even though I'm probably going to botch his last name, Travis Sawchik, who posts for Fangraphs. And that's, you know, that's an interesting take on it. I didn't think about that when we were talking about the Cubs yesterday. I was just kind of looking at, you know, how they would fit in and, you know, the kind of the money and stuff. But yeah, that's a really good point. If you're looking for, you know, not so much travel stress. And I mean, they still travel an obscene amount of miles a year, but it's unbelievable that the Cubs actually travel 23,000 miles less than the Mariners and the other West Coast teams. So, you know, we'll have to see if that's something that plays in. But yeah, you know, like they broke down like his meeting with the Giants on here, you know, that they mentioned that Buster Posey went to the meeting. But they don't have anything else on any of the other meetings. So.
No, I'm. You know, I was just kind of going over this article again, and it looks like the Dodgers were the ones who threw out that he could double as a hitter.
Yeah, the Giants general manager mentions it as well. He talks about how some scouts actually see him being able to play all three outfield positions. And then, you know, the GM goes on to say it's just a matter of what's best for him. I know the guy's last name is Evans, and I've drawn a blank on his first name. I wanted to say Bobby, but I don't think that's right. So I, you know, just kind of butched it here, and we'll have to see if I can bing his name really quickly so I don't look like a complete jackass while we're talking about it, but it's just one of those goofy, you know, goofy things that from time to time I, you know, I do a Mr. Fantasy and I just can't remember the damn name, and it's like, oh, come on. So Brian Sabians? No, I didn't. Oh, well, okay, then who's Evans that they were talking about? Brian, if Brian Sabian's the GM. Oh, no, they got, okay, here it is. They got Bobby Evans listed as the GM, but when I binged it, it came up as Brian Sabian. But I think Sabian is president. So, okay, we're going with Bobby Evans as the GM. There, I clarified that. Thank you, Bing. So, but yeah, looking around, you know, like I said, they don't have a, you know, a ton of other information on his meetings. You know, like all it says is, you know, like the next article on him says he completed his in-person meetings.
Right. Oh, that's dumb.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the teams that was, I guess, surprisingly in the mix was the Padres. And, you know, here's an article I'm just pulling up on MLB.com. It's just an MLB article. It doesn't have a writer attached to it. But, you know, if they were able to land Ohtani, you know, kind of alleges or puts them in a good position to be a good fit for Mike Moustakas. Or no, Eric Hosmer.
Sorry. The next stop
yeah.
would be Henry Park, Oak Park
Avenue. And then you can move.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's. Yeah, well, you know, if I mean Ohtani plays the outfield, you know, he could always you know, go back there. I mean, it's going to be, you know, wherever he kind of ends up here, it's going to be really interesting. You know, in an odd way, I root for the Padres because I would like to see them improve. You know, even though obviously the one player just isn't going to help them. But, you know, they were the first team to have the guy who, you know, played a position and pitched as well. Remember, they did it last year with Christian Betancourt. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't call it successful, but they did allow it. So, you know, I don't know if that helps with anything or, you know, that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, I would be interested to know if, like, Mike Trout attended the meeting for the Angels with him. You know, I know he's been at all the Philadelphia Eagles games because he's a season ticket holder. But I don't know if, you know, he went along or, you know, Rizzo and Bryant with the Cubs there. You know, that's the stuff I want to know. I want to know what players went, you know, like Buster. So,
yeah. Well, you know, and here's an interesting situation that, you know, obviously I know you're not going to have the answer to. And I'll actually maybe tweet it out there to see what they
say. But I won't.
But if he comes in and is a pitcher and a fielder, would that mean he would be available twice as fantasy goes, where you'd be able to draft him as a pitcher and then, you know, as an outfielder, say?
Well, you know what this means. You're going to have to email Yahoo to figure out how they're going to handle this, because I actually did, with the last pick in our regular draft, our Snake League draft, I did take Christian Betancourt, and I did not get his pitching stats. I only got his hitting stats. So I see this as another, yeah. I see this as you reaching out to Yahoo while we have some time before the season starts, because that's obviously where we run our fantasy league through. And you'll have to say, hey, look, guys, you know, this guy's going to do both. How are you going to handle it statistically wise? You know, yeah, I mean, would that make him, you know, would he be ranked as a pitcher and a hitter? And you would have to draft him, you know, multiple times. Could you imagine the guy with like the 20th pick taking Ohtani the pitcher and Ohtani the outfielder, just to, you know, see how it worked out for him? But yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, something they're going to have to figure out. And I not only a tweet, like you said, but I see an email in your future going to Yahoo and seeing how they're going to get back to you on it.
I'll approach Daily Art, both markets.
So, I mean, I guess that's something, you know, maybe I'll throw it out there later today or tomorrow. I know it's a little too soon, seeing as they, you know, he isn't signed, and we don't know his exact fielding pitching situation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you do never know what he will, you know, end up doing. I mean, like right now, it looks like he's going to attempt to do both, but, you know, you do wonder, you know, and that's the other question, is how long it'll last. I mean, think about it. If he goes out and he struggles on the mound, I believe teams really want him more as a pitcher. So you've got to wonder, if he goes out and he struggles as a pitcher, you know, will they want him to stop hitting so he can concentrate on his at-bats? Or, you know, would they, you know, how else would they handle it?
I don't know. I think you're almost damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, obviously it's going to be new territory for whoever he signs with and however they decide to handle it. But, yeah, you know, and I think that may be, you know, part of his decision in his landing spot. You know, I mean, I think he's got to look for the right manager more than, you know, maybe anything else, you know, even outside of, you know, maybe he's looking at like team success and he wants to be with a contender. But I think possibly to land with that right manager who's going to know how to handle, you know, both ends of that spectrum. Because again, you know, we've never never seen anybody try to do this on a full-time basis. So, it's going to be new.
Do you think that maybe gives an edge to the Cubs with Joe Maddon, seeing as he had no qualms about putting Travis Wood in the outfield? He could be a starter.
Yeah, you know, you...
You know, he could start, he can go out to the outfield for the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then he can close his own game, right?
Yeah, how funny would that be? He pitches the first 5, he goes to the outfield, and he comes back in for the bottom of the 9th. Would he get a win and a save? Would they have to credit him with both? But obviously, you mentioned Maddon. You know, like I said, the Padres just did this. So, you know, you would have to think that would increase their, their terms. I wonder, I know we both love the Giants, but, you know, Bochy is a little bit of an old school guy, and he may be the oldest of all the managers of the teams they're meeting with. You know, and I wonder if that would be an issue for him, would be juggling it. Now, I know, obviously, he's not the only guy to make that decision. He's just kind of the face of the team. But, yeah, I would think, you know, in a situation like that, the Cubs and the Padres would move to the front pretty quickly. I wish you and I had a little more inside information and we knew what he was basing his decisions on. But, it's just kind of those things.
I think that you, me, and, you know, everyone who actually covers the sport wants to know more. But, you know, I think
Rosenthal
the thing,
probably know.
Yeah, I was put there in his bow tie. The one thing, though, I think you forgot about was Bochy might be a little bit leaning that way, seeing as he did allow Baumgartner to hit instead of DH. So he might be a little bit more open than we might think.
The one thing that really may turn the tide in the Giants' favor is if they do pull off this Giancarlo Stanton deal, you really have to start looking at them as World Series contenders again. I mean, I know they had just a horrendous year last year. And I mean, obviously, you know, we've been over it, but, you know, Baumgartner getting hurt killed them, and then Samardzija and Cueto didn't pitch. You could probably throw Matt Moore in there, too. Didn't pitch anywhere close to what people expected them to pitch like. But, I mean, yeah, imagine that rotation. If you get a bounce-back year from Cueto, Samardzija is just average. If Moore can hold his own, you've got a healthy Baumgartner and then Ohtani as your 5-man. And then you add Giancarlo Stanton to your everyday lineup. I know they have some issues at third base that they'll have to figure out, but that they can do that. And you just have to wonder, this team vaults right to the top of the World Series contender list, don't they? And I did decide, Dan, wherever Ohtani signs, I'm not going to allow anyone to pick him as Rookie of the Year, because that's just too big of a softball for people to look at and go, oh, yeah, I'm taking him. So.
Yeah, but if Mr. Fantasy and Schomburg's do, it's not like they get the prize at the end of the year.
Yeah, I know, but I got to listen to Mr. Fantasy, so him especially is barred, that's just kind of how it goes. And Stu's not picking him. He's taking whatever Cub rookie is playing, even if it's a setup guy. So.
You're going to take Eloy Jimenez.
Yes. You know, we know how that all works out with Stu. So, you know, Joe Maddon's his manager of the year, and Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo is his MVP. And then, you know, maybe Jose Quintana will be a Cy Young guy next year. So.
Too bad they can't be co-MVPs.
Yeah, you know, I'm waiting for him to pick that one year. You know, he can't decide between the two of them, and he just plugs them both in as MVPs. while we're on pitching and stuff, I wanted to bring this one up to you because we talked about it just a little yesterday, and we didn't go into too much detail, but I mentioned to you that, you know, the Rangers did sign Mike Minor, and the deal ended up being 3 years and $28 million. It was first reported as 4 years and $28 million. Now, you know, he was a big-time prospect for the Braves back in the day, and he got hurt. His arm was actually so bad that he missed 2 years. Now, he came back with the Royals as a setup guy last year and pitched really well, but the Rangers intend to put him back in as a starter. And then, Dan, they mentioned that they're looking at going with a six-man rotation. And now this is – and, you know, they obviously – you know, they're one of the teams in the running for Ohtani. I don't know if that factors in. But, you know, I – you know, these things kind of – baffle me with stuff, but projected right now, you know, if the season started for the Rangers, it would be Cole Hamels, Martin Perez, Mike Minor, Doug Fister, and then they would actually have two open spots that they're looking to fill. I mean, obviously one would be Ohtani if he, you know, if he landed there. I know there was talk that they had a prospect, I want to say, I believe it's, God, Yohander Mendez is the guy who's their top guy that they're hoping is going to grab one of the spots. But then, you know, they obviously still have the one open spot. Are you, you know, I hate this six-man rotation talk, and it just drives me nuts, but sooner or later it's going to happen. Do you think the Rangers are going to be the team that functionally gives it a shot here?
Well, I think if they're able to land Ohtani, seeing as they have the most money to provide him, it would fit better. And maybe that was something that was in their presentation, because then you can get him more so, you know, closer to the Japanese style, where you've mentioned they only pitch on a certain day, where with, you know, rest days and whatnot, he would essentially be able to pitch, you know, on one day. You know, the only downside to that...
it would almost work out.
You know, the downside to that... Well, maybe not so much the downside, but, you know, when it comes to fantasy, what really matters, your year-long teams, whatever, but, you know, you would only get one start out of these guys a week, most likely, unless they didn't get a day off that week.
I'm not going to make my innings requirement if they round.
You know, it'd be interesting because it may come to the point, maybe not next year, but the year after that, we might have to lower that requirement by three innings. I don't think it'll be something we'll totally have to even look at unless they truly go into a sixth. You know, here's the trade-off I can foresee. If the league starts going with six-man rotations, I think that could bump up the starting pitchers up to back to 7-8 innings per start if you're only starting once a week, as opposed to, you know, I'm sure it happened to you many times. I, you know, had guys like Samardzija, Cueto, who tend to go deep. And I mean, you know, those two guys alone were taking up half. If you have both of them and they're both able to pitch twice in the week somehow, I don't think that's even possible with two guys on the same team. But, you know, if you have two guys that pitch in the same week, like Cueto and Samardzija, you just made your innings with just those two guys. Granted, that's only, you know, 29 innings. In our league, it's 34. So you just need, you know, one or two more starts out of anybody else, and you made your innings with basically two guys. But, you know, maybe we would see that where they'd go back to actually pitching deep.
Yeah, you know, that would be a decent trade-off, you know. I definitely think it would work that way.
You know, but the innings per year, I think, you know, what did we figure? How many weeks are there in baseball? Was it like 20, 22? But they only had 22 starts, and they go seven innings. I don't know, you do the math. 20 starts at seven is 140. So I think you'd lose your 200 in any of your guys.
Yeah, they would definitely go away very, very quickly. If you went to, you know, this kind of situation. And I wonder, you bring this in, you know, and obviously it's, I don't know, however you want to describe it, you know, it's game changing or, you know, all those other fun things. But I wonder how the guys who are used to pitching on, you know, in 5-man rotations handle it. You know, I mean, we've seen situations where that extra day of rest really screws guys up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just one of those things I saw and I was like, oh boy. But there was one more baseball story I wanted to run by you, cause I definitely needed to get your take on this. Because this is this is right up my alley because we're almost the same age. 53, Rafael Palmeiro's looking for an invite to spring training. Who's signing him, Dan? Where's he going to end up?
Oh, I thought you meant as a coach.
No. He's looking to play. So.
The Long Island Ducks? I don't know if it's the Ducks. I forgot what the Long Island team was named.
The St. Paul Saints, is that where he ends up? He's their draw this year. So it used to, you know, Kevin Millar played there last year. So he played that one game there.
Oh.
Yeah, he actually homered in a game there last year. So.
Wow. Home run guy. I don't know. I mean, would a team like the Rockies, because they always seem to do things like that. You know, remember Jamie Moore at 50? I don't know. I think you'd have to look at an American League team. I don't know if the owner of the Rangers or even the Baltimore organization would be slightly interested, seeing as he had time in both spots. He was one of my favorite guys growing up. And I think, you know, that was obviously before we knew about the steroid stuff, but, you know, he was still one of my favorite guys growing up. But it would be interesting to see if he got a couple at bats. You've got to imagine he gets into the minor league somehow.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, if he would be willing to accept a minor league assignment to start the season off. He's convinced that, you know, like he mentioned, with all the strikeouts, he's convinced that he can make it. And, you know, we are talking about a guy who's a career 288 hitter. You know, he is a 3,000 hit guy, 3,020, 569 home runs. You know, now we know, of course, little issues with some stuff he may have taken. You know, he did deny it and do the finger wagging and, all those kind of interesting things that happen. Julio Franco, you know, played at 50. So.
What'd you say, Julio Franco?
Yeah. Now, you know, interestingly, Dan, I mean, obviously you and I remember that he was a Chicago Cub. And they had to make a decision between, were they going to go with Palmeiro or were they going to go with Mark Grace? And they chose Mark Grace. They both went on to have really good careers. But so they ended up dealing Palmeiro to the Rangers. Now, when he went to the Rangers, he went with Drew Hall and, oddly, Jamie Moyer, who you mentioned earlier. Here's the stellar list of people they got back for him, Dan. Luis Benitez, Pablo Delgado, Paul Kilgus, Curtis Wilkerson, Steve Wilson, and the only guy worth anything that the Cubs got back in the deal, Mitch Williams.
Mitchie.
Yeah, so that, sadly the Cubs kind of got fleeced there, but, that happens. Again, you had to make the choice, and, you know, they went with, I mean, they, you know, they got great play out of Mark Grace, but I just thought it was humorous. I mean, he's 53. He thinks he can still play. I would guess he's you know, like you said, he's got to be a designated hitter. I can't see him playing first base regularly. I don't know. You know?
Do you think, if anyone even considers him, it's an automatic drug test? Here's a cup.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely one of the guys who will be, will be tested. There's no doubt there. But, you know, since it is, let's call it what it is. It's going to be kind of a sideshow if he gets signed. You know, what about a team like the White Sox bringing him in to draw a little attention to their spring training with all their young guys? You know, it could be a nice distraction to have him there so they're not hounding the rookies about how their careers are going to go. Because obviously he'll probably get, it'll probably just be for the major league minimum. So it's not going to be hugely expensive for a team to bring him in. You know, it might not be a bad deal if they just bring him in and take a look at him. I mean, they don't have to keep him.
Well, you know, here's the only reason I would say it wouldn't happen, and that's because Rick Hahn has the reins right now and not Kenny. I mean, if Kenny was, it would happen a little bit quicker than we might think. I just can't see Rick Hahn doing that. But, you know, if he thought that way, kind of what you were saying, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, it's just one of those, kind of interesting things that, because obviously, there are teams with holes that could use a bat. But, again, we're looking at a guy that we don't know what kind of bat we're talking about here. You're talking about a 53-year-old man who's going to be facing guys who are throwing, 100-plus all the time. So, you've got to kind of take a look and see what he actually has left. If any teams are, even serious about doing that.
You've got to imagine, I don't know if you had an article that you pulled up or that was just something you looked at earlier, but they go into depth or in minor detail as to what he's actually been doing.
I just saw the interview with him. They played cut a snippet out of it. And they haven't really said, what he's been up to or anything. It was just the quote. It was Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. Is that, I don't know if they're in the, I can't say newspaper because there really aren't anything, but I'm sure it's a website he's working for. And, his comment, Palmeiro said, "There's no doubt in my mind I can do it." And I'm just going to see if I can skim this article and see if it says, if he's been doing anything or anything like that. It doesn't really say, much except, he wants to I want to prove to myself I can do it on a high level. So. It says his son Preston is currently a member of the Orioles organization. So I don't know, how that works out. And Julio Franco was just 49 when he retired, not 50. I thought he was 50. So, but Ichiro is still playing, and how old is he now? He's 40, 40 plus, 44 or so?
Yeah.
So, obviously, Ichiro has been playing constantly. There hasn't been a 12-year gap in his, his play. So, that's a big, big difference there. But, yeah, hey, it doesn't hurt a team to, bring him in and look at him. I mean, I think Ryan Howard played for two different minor league teams last year while teams were looking at him. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was in the Braves, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he ended with the Braves, but I think somebody else took a look at him first. I'm not sure if it was the Tigers or, but I, Yeah, I thought he got some at-bats with somebody else before they let him go. And then, you know, the Braves brought him in when Freeman got hurt to take a look at him just in case. But, yeah, he just – I think he hit under 200 in both places, and nobody brought him around. You know, it just was – you know, his time to be done, pretty much. You know, at one time he was, an MVP and a fantastic player. And, you know, what do they say? The sands of the hourglass ran out on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but switching up here, Dan, as we ran through our baseball topics, regardless of what Jerry Jones wanted, Roger Goodell got his new deal today, Dan, that could be worth up to $200 million. Not bad money, huh?
No, especially for a guy who commissions a league that's supposedly losing interest.
Yeah, he got a 5-year extension. They're estimating it's about 40 million annually. And then, you know, if the owners approve all the bonuses and incentives that are in the deal. So he will be commissioner till 2023.
What kind of bonuses or incentives does he get? Domestic violence, a domestic abuse case, you get, you know, if you suspend a guy for seven to 10 day games, you get another bonus or.
Yeah, they don't say what the bonuses are, but interestingly, his salary is only in the single-digit millions, and the contract is actually 85% what they say total potential compensation package from bonuses. So, it's one of those things where it looks like, you know, obviously making single-digit millions is still too bad, but he's going to have to – you know, definitely earn some money. I'm looking to see if they mention any of the bonuses or anything, but it doesn't look like this article has any of them. So I don't know if it's, you know, if it's tied to ratings or how, I mean, what kind of a bonus can a commissioner get? You know, what does, you know, obviously he's not playing. So what do you base his bonuses on?
If you can completely hide and sweep allegations under the rug, you win.
Yeah.
You get a million.
You've got to wonder, if domestic violence goes down, you get a bonus, or, you know, if ratings go up or attendance goes up or if teams are worth more, I don't know. you got to kind of start looking to see, you know, who's where and how you figure it out. But, he's going to make a good chunk of change. And then, you know, you're probably going to guess this is his last contract. I don't know exactly how old he is, but you got to wonder how much longer he's going to want to do this. And, that and the fact that, I just think it's humorous that, you know, none of this went Jerry Jones's way. And, you know, I'm sure that's part of the reason. Oh, actually, he's only 58. So he'll be what, 60? How many years we got? 6 years. So yeah, he'll only be 64. Maybe if he wants to stay, he goes one more. But yeah, now do you think, you know, obviously Jerry Jones was against this. We knew it was just bitter BS because his running back got suspended. Do you think the owners on this negotiating committee took anything Jones had to say under consideration before they gave Goodell this contract? So, that's one of those things you just got to kind of wonder, it doesn't appear they did with the payoff, that he just got. So it's kind of humorous. And, like we all knew, you know, I would have loved to hear Jerry Jones trying to sway Robert Kraft, who had to, you know, of course, put up with all this stuff when, you know, Tom Brady was suspended and they went back and forth on that. But yeah, could you just imagine that conversation of, you know, why that they should side with Jerry and not give Goodell this contract extension. And that would have just been, you know, that's the place you want to be a fly on the wall and listen to that. 'Cause it would have just been, you know, nuts to listen to this goof. And that's all he is. He's just a goof. You know, and then you got to start to wonder of how much of a distraction did he cause his team, you know, by making a spectacle of this. But, you know, this is what he does. You know, that's how, you know, how Jerry Jones is. You just kind of live with those things. So, oh, well, there we go. All right. But, yeah, I just thought that was funny. Now, Dan, I was asking you before you dropped off there, do you honestly think the other owners listened to Jones at all when they were negotiating this deal?
Not really. I'm surprised though, like you brought up Kraft and with the situation they had going on. And then kind of the way the Ray Rice situation was handled, you know. I just kind of surprised that all the owners continued to go forward with him, but maybe there's no one else that they think could do exactly what he does. Because other than hand out punishments and retract them and then hand out a bigger punishment, I don't really know what the hell the commissioner's job is.
Yeah, you know, I believe obviously, you know, there's negotiating of the, you know, the CBA and, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, that, you know, a lot of, you know, legal mumbo jumbo and all the, you know, all the stuff that kind of fits in with, you know, with how that works. And obviously that's why he's a lawyer, you know, that makes it a whole lot easier for him to, you know, jump through and kind of handle these things where, you know, you and I would be looking at it going, wait, what? You got to do what here? So, but yeah, I don't know otherwise too much of how, you know, like what are the day-to-day operations? I mean, this week they were busy because they had suspensions to hand out. You know, Gronkowski mm-hmm. got one, and then the two guys Monday night, even though the one I believe was overturned today. I believe Iowoka suspension was overturned. But, you know, good old Juju Smith-Schuster picked one up for himself. But yeah, I mean, other than that, yeah, I don't really know, you know, what your day to day operations are.
Aside from being the league's face representation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, basically the guy who they blame everything on. You know, I mean, you've got to be willing to take that hit. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of your biggest deal. But I mean, obviously for that kind of money, I don't think anybody's going to have too big an issue taking those hits. Right. So.
No.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it'll be, you know, it'll give the owner something, you know, some more to talk about and all that fun stuff. I just love the fact that it kind of, you know, gets rubbed in Jerry Jones' face. And I love the fact that he just, you know, he didn't have the power to pull this off like he thought he did. You know, even though he's one of the most powerful owners, it's fun to see how many guys hate his guts and, you know, that he, you know, that he couldn't do this. So, 'cause you damn well know he just wanted one of his guys in as commissioner so he could do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you know, they're going to have to, you know, I mean, like right off the bat, Goodell's going to have to get to work on the new CBA because it comes up in a couple years. So, you know, they're going to have to work that out. You know, there's, you know, all the other concerns. I mean, they're still working on player safety. I'm not sure how much more they can do with that. You know, they're trying their best, but man, football is a physical game. And I know, like, one of the things they talked about was possible ejections for guys targeting, but you just, it's so hard to tell when a guy's targeting and when he's not, that I just don't think you can do it. So.
No, I mean, the only other thing I can see is, I mean, the only other change or rule you can add to it is if a guy goes down, he's down. You know, because I forget who it was that was handed out a suspension, but it was Gronkowski, who was said to have hit a defensive guy after an interception, you know, in the neck and the head, and he's put on, you know, concussion protocol. But, I mean, it's to the point now where you're going to have to just say, once a guy's down, regardless of being touched by the opposing team or not, he's down. You know, if you go down, you're down. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, kind of like the college rule, you know, and that may not be that's a rule in college. Once you don't have to be touched, go down, you're down, you know, in high school as well. So, yeah, you know, that may not be, you know, a bad idea. You know, it's something they can look at. But, you know, like they were talking, you know, part of the reason the Bengals safety got a suspension on Monday was because he had a helmet-to-helmet hit with Antonio Brown in the end zone. And, I mean, it was a big hit. And there were a lot of people who thought it was targeting. But when you look at the hit, you know, Brown is moving in a downward direction to catch the football while the safety is coming across to make the hit to try to knock the ball loose. Brown actually kind of moves down to where the hit happens in the head. So I just don't think there was anything this guy could do about it, and I'm glad they overturned the suspension because I don't think he deserved it like the other two guys did. I actually think Gronk should have got more than one game because his was just blatant, and you knew what he was doing. He was just being a dumb oaf. You know, he was just ticked off. But, but in a split second, how does a ref decide that?
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, I didn't see the Gronkowski hit, but after reading the details, I didn't even think you could argue that. I don't think you could, you know, really honestly argue it.
Yeah, it was humorous. You know, I mean, obviously you try and you throw the appeal out there just because that's what you do as a player. But yeah, there was no way at all that one was going to get overturned. It was just, you know, again, if I would have been the arbitrator, I would have added a game. Here, you're dumb enough to appeal this. I'm giving you a second one. So, you know, just kind of how it goes. But, you know, it's, you know, obviously it's, you know, he's well paid and it's a, you know, it's a difficult job. You know, when you kind of start to look at it and just all the BS he deals with, I'm sure there's days he goes home and doesn't think the money's worth it, you know, but yet you look at it and he's making quite a bit of it. So, but yeah, I don't know. Did you want the job, Dan? Did you apply? So,
I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, well, you could have been, but you decided to be an accountant.
Yeah.
You know, you could have been right there. We could have been talking about this, and then I could have a better job. Oh.
Just a matter of days, right?
Yes. That's all that matters. You know, if I would have been a little more serious in school, you know, it could have been my job. Yeah, right. So, but, yeah, you know, yeah, I thought that was kind of...
I was saying, that quote comes from your second favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard 2.
Yes. So, was that filmed at Christmas time? I don't remember. So,
Yeah. Remember,
I know the
gets
first
the ticket
one
at the
was.
Airport.
Does he?
Gets the ticket and the tow at the airport, and cop tells him Merry Christmas.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I lose track, you know, with all the Christmas movie stuff and, you know, this and that. So, you know, we have to, keep it all straight. You know, luckily, you know, and oddly, Dan, I am disappointed that, you know, Die Hard is not one of the Hallmark movies they show when they do, you know, all Christmas movies all summer long. You don't ever see Die Hard.
Yeah. Well, it's just those two, the first and the second. The rest of them aren't.
So, well, here you go, Dan. Back to the subject I originally started with. I don't know if you saw this one yet, but in our in the basketball league, and I don't know if this was the guy I sent the trade to because his name is Paul. It's not the team name. It's the subject trades. And the message is, could you please do me a favor and not send trade requests for my only star players and offer bench reserve players in return? I'll reject them every time. So I'm guessing he probably got a deal from our friend as well.
Oh, you mean there's a message? Like a group?
Yeah, it's an actual message on the message board in the league.
Oh, I didn't
so,
see
yeah,
that.
I thought
that's
that was kind
awesome.
Of, yeah, it like just popped up, but yeah, I think it was kind of humorous. So I'm sure he got one of those lovely trade offers too. And it was just like, hey, this is how we started the podcast. Look at that. It came full circle. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way it's gone over the last two or three seasons, I'm almost to the point where I think when we renew next year that this guy should just possibly be kicked out. I think we should allow him to renew.
You know, the tough part is, though, he's one of the better guys. I mean, he changes lineup every week, and he, you know, he stays on top of it. It's just, you know, his one flaw is the fact that he sends out stupid trades. So, you know, and it makes it a lot harder on the commissioner because you've got to pay attention, you know, real attention, you know, then everybody's on your rear end about it.
That's why I'm just a co-commissioner.
So, yeah. Actually, I think I made you the commissioner in that league now. So, you had to deal with that, and I didn't. So, you know, that was one of those big, the big switch I needed to make there because I just could. The stress was too much.
Yeah. Well, at least it's all set up.
Yeah. Oh. All right, then it's time for Dan and I to roll out of here. And hey, we'll be back tomorrow to do this all over again on Thursday. You don't have to go while we're on those. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the two blogs that went up this morning. Link yourself over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget the podcast is available anytime you want to go and listen to it at TuneIn.com.